This morning, I want us to see what we can learn from the scriptures regarding people who missed Christmas, who missed the birth of Christ. Why did they miss one of the greatest events to ever occur in history? And why do so many people today miss Christmas? I'm going to contrast the people that miss Christmas with those who do not miss Christmas. I want us to know that when I talk about missing Christmas, I'm not talking about missing the holiday. I'm talking about the true reason for Christmas, and that is the coming of a Savior, Jesus Christ, and how people missed Him, and how people miss Him today. We're going to look at four groups of people in the Gospels who miss Christmas. The first group was the general population of Bethlehem who were oblivious to the birth of Christ. The next group, secondly, were the innkeepers in Bethlehem who were too busy to have any time for Christ's birth. And included in this group are relatives. Many people came from the outlying areas of Israel back to Bethlehem to register for the census. And many of their descendants that had moved away traveled back in, and the families or relatives were hosting these individuals that came in for the census. Very busy time. And they missed Christmas. A third group were the politicians, namely King Herod and his administration. When they did find out about Jesus' birth, what were they going to do about it? They were going to come and worship, right? Well, it says that in the Bible. Herod asked the wise men where Jesus was because he wanted to come and worship. Now, he was plotting, he and his administration, to kill Christ. And the fourth group, believe it or not, who missed Christmas were the religious leaders. Although they had the scriptures, the prophecies of Christ's birth, and it's included here, a prophet from prophet Micah in verse 6 of chapter 2, they knew where the Christ was to be born. They expected the Messiah. They knew about Isaiah's prophecies. And yet, they missed Christ's birth. These four groups, all of them missed Christmas. Do you identify with any of them? Any of the groups? Well, we're going to look at these groups to see if we identify with any. And the purpose is so that we can wake up and enjoy Christmas. And that leads into my first group of people who miss Christmas. The general population of Bethlehem were asleep. I couldn't help but think of Luke's account of the shepherds' reaction that night when the angels announced the birth of Christ. They saw the manifestation of God's glory in the sky, and it frightened them. They heard the wonderful announcement of the birth of Christ, and their response to the good news was hastily, immediately going to Bethlehem, where they did see the newborn king. But there's no place in any of the Gospels or the epistles regarding the little town of Bethlehem, the general population joining with the shepherds to go to Bethlehem to see the baby. God revealed His glorious news, but most of the population missed it. They were asleep. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Many people today miss Christmas because they're spiritually asleep. Unless God opens the eyes and ears and hearts of people and reveals to them the good news that a Savior has been born to save them from their sins, they will miss Christmas. They'll celebrate the holiday quite extravagantly. But when it comes to worshiping Jesus Christ, that's not a top priority. Spiritually asleep. Christmas holiday is celebrated throughout this land, throughout the world. But most people will miss it because they're spiritually asleep. Is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart right now, saying, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people, for you? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. There's a Savior that has come. And He's come for you, for all of us. Is the Holy Spirit moving in your heart, stirring you, revealing Christ to you? You might be sitting here in church enjoying the music, the decorations, thinking about all of your holiday activities and plans, wishing that you could have been with the children to see what myrrh really looked like. And just enjoying the time. This is the Sunday before Christmas. And then as the service is going on, there's this strange working within you. And it's uncomfortable. It's like God is getting your attention. And He wants you to know that He has sent a Savior to save you from the condemnation that is due to your sin. If that is happening, like the shepherds, it'll shake you up. But continue to stay with those thoughts in your mind of what the Holy Spirit is doing, that there's a Savior. I don't need a Savior. I'm pretty good. Do you? Is everybody perfect enough to get to heaven? Or do we need a Savior to save us from our sins and make us right with God so that we can have access to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ? And it's like, gee, I haven't heard stuff like this. Well, God is waking you up to the reality that He loves you and He has a Savior for you. And He wants you to be in heaven. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. By God's grace, you could be born again right here, right now. As He opens your eyes to the reality, I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And when I trust in Him and believe in Him, all my sins are forgiven. I'm a child of the King. I'm part of the royal priesthood. Is God speaking to you this way? Don't shut Him out. Let Him speak. Second group of people who missed Christmas were the innkeepers in Bethlehem. For hundreds of years, we have talked about the innkeeper who turned Mary and Joseph away that first Christmas night. But if we look closely, we see that the Bible doesn't mention an innkeeper. It just mentions an inn. But as you think with your sanctified imagination of all these people coming to Bethlehem to register for the census, Bethlehem was bulging at the seams. People had to stay someplace. They had to eat some. They had to find food. They had to find shelter for their animals. All of this is happening. And there's this buzz. Relatives, so-and-so's coming. We really didn't expect them. Somebody go out and get more food. Somebody clean the stalls for the animals. There's so much we have to do because so-and-so is coming. Busyness. Too busy for the Lord. It reminds me of the time Jesus visited Mary and Martha. Remember in Luke 10? Let me read this. Now, as they went their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Martha was so busy, so distracted with all her serving, she had no time for Jesus. She got mad at her sister Mary for not helping. She became unglued. She actually spoke to Jesus and ordered him to order her sister to help her. All Martha wanted to do was just sit at his feet and listen to Jesus and praise him and pray to him and hear what he had to say. But Martha was too busy. There's time for that, but we have to do. That attitude we find at the Christmas time, don't we? Remember when Christmas was on Sunday, people are saying, are we going to cancel church? Because this is our family time. This is when we exchange gifts and we have a big breakfast. We don't have time for church. What is Christmas all about? So many people miss Christmas because of busyness. The innkeepers, the servants, the relatives in Bethlehem, they didn't get together and fight to keep Jesus out. Neither did they vote him out. They just crowded him out. There was no room for Christ in their lives. You know, the real tragedy here is that this isn't just the way of life at Christmas time. This is a way of life all year round for a lot of people. So busy. Trying to get so many things crammed into such little time. And a few of us were talking about this. The first thing to go in a busy schedule is church. Is your prayer life. I don't have time to do all this. What I find interesting is not only do I hear I just have a full plate and I can't do anything, but, hey, Pastor, you know, we should do this. We should do that. It's like, I don't have time to do this, but let's do something more. I can't figure that out. Can you? Maybe that's why the professionals tell us that Christmas time is the most stressful time of the year for people. Maybe that's why there's drug epidemics. So much alcohol is being consumed. People are so stressed out, they have to take something to calm down. Their whole life is out of control. John Ortberg writes, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life. For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we'll become so distracted with all the things that we're doing so preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of Christianity. Christianity happens Sunday mornings from 8:45 to 11:15. That's it. That's the time. That's my Christianity. And then I go about doing all the other stuff that I want to do. The third group who missed the Christmas, who missed the first Christmas, was King Herod and his administration. Time doesn't allow, but if you get a chance, do a study on King Herod, the kind of person he was. And you'll understand why he had a panicked reaction when he heard from the wise men that there was a king that was born. I mean, Herod was evil. 10 wives, 12 kids. And the only thing he cared about was maintaining his political position as the king. And he would wipe out anybody and everybody who threatened him. Jesus was a threat. The main reason Rome allowed him to continue ruling the region was because he could produce a lot of tax income. He wasn't really a Jew. He wasn't really a king either. He was more of an under-king of a far-flung province in the Roman Empire. His father had done some favors for Rome, and as a payment, the Herod family was given a right to rule Judea, which was under Roman occupation. I mean, Herod murdered his wife. He murdered his son-in-law, who was the high priest. He had the most distinguished citizens of Jerusalem put in prison and commanded that they be slaughtered the moment he died. He explained, "The people will not weep when I die, and I want them weeping even if they weep over someone else." That's the mindset. So Herod missed Christmas. He could have met the King of Kings. He could have worshipped. He could have been transformed. He could have become a godly leader. He could have had all of his sins forgiven. As ruthless and cold-blooded, Christ's salvation covers all sin. He could have experienced that. But he missed Christ. Because Christ was a threat to his agenda. So what do? Wipe them out. Get rid of the opposition. He missed Christmas. So many people miss Christmas. There's a story told that in Europe, there was a stone cathedral. And it had a very large and magnificent pipe organ, something that Warren Emery would salivate over. It was a Saturday afternoon, and the custodian was making one final check of the choir and organ loft high in the balcony at the back of the church. He was startled to hear footsteps echoing up the stone stairway. As he thought the doors were still locked and no one was around, he turned to see a man in slightly tattered traveling clothes coming toward him. "Excuse me, sir," the stranger said. "I have come from quite a distance to see the great organ in this cathedral. Would you mind opening the console so that I might get a closer look at it?" The custodian at first refused, but the stranger seemed so eager and insistent that he finally gave in. But then the stranger asked, "May I sit on the bench?" That request was met with absolute refusal by the cathedral custodian. He said, "What if the organist came in and found you sitting there? I would probably lose my job." But again, the stranger was so persistent that the custodian gave in. "But only for a moment," he said. The custodian noticed that the stranger seemed to be very much at home on the organ bench. So he was not completely surprised when the stranger asked to be allowed to play the organ. "No, definitely not," said the custodian. "No one is allowed to play it except the cathedral organist." The man's face fell, and his deep disappointment was obvious. He reminded the custodian how far he had come and assured him that no damage would be done. Finally, the custodian relented and told the stranger he could play the instrument, but only a few notes. And then he would have to leave. Overjoyed, the stranger pulled out some stops and began to play. Suddenly, the cathedral was filled with the most beautiful music the custodian had ever heard in all his years in that place. It seemed to transport him heavenward. Then, in what seemed all too short a time, the stranger stopped playing and slid off the organ bench and started down the stairway. "Wait," cried the custodian. "That was the most beautiful music I have ever heard in this cathedral. Who are you?" The stranger turned for just a moment as he replied, "Mendelssohn." He was none other than Felix Mendelssohn, one of the greatest organists and composers of the 19th century. The custodian was alone now in the cathedral, the beautiful organ music still ringing in his ears. "Just think," he said softly, "I almost kept the master from playing his music in my cathedral." We have different ideas, don't we? Things we protect, and sometimes we're shutting out. And the point is, sometimes we're shutting out the very God we seek, because he doesn't fit our criteria or doesn't fit into our box the way he should. The people of Bethlehem slept through Christmas. The innkeeper, the relatives slept. Herod missed Christmas because he was more concerned about being the Lord of his life. And there was one last group that missed Christmas. And it is astounding that they did so. It was the religious leaders. The last group who missed Christmas were the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests, the religious leaders of Jerusalem. They knew about the Messiah coming. They knew where he was going to come from. It's written here from Micah, "O you, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah." They knew it, and yet they missed the Christ child. How can you be so religious and yet miss Christmas? Miss the birth of Jesus? Miss worshiping Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes our religion gets in our way of worshiping God. External religion. We have all these things we have to do. All these places we have to go. All these religious activities. And we get consumed by them. And they actually... I got a flu shot 2 weeks ago. And lo and behold, within the next 3 hours, I got the flu. But they said, even if you get the flu, it's not going to be as bad. All right, it took a day and a half to get over it. But the point of a flu shot is they give you a little bit of a dead virus into your bloodstream, into your body, so that it keeps you from getting the real thing. That's how external Christianity works. You get a shot a piece of Christianity. And it keeps you from getting the real thing. Okay, I go to church once a month. I got the shot. I'm a believer. And maybe the next month I'll get a booster shot. That'll keep me spiritually healthy. I'm good. 6 months go by, Christmas time, definitely have to make the Christmas Eve service. Another shot. This means I am a Christian. This means I am right with God. This means I'm going to heaven. All the externals keep us from actually getting the real relationship with Jesus Christ that we need. Church takes the place of an intimate relationship with God. We come in seeking God, and something happens, and we leave no differently than when we came in. Sometimes we're so concerned about the meeting that we're going to have after church, and what we're going to say, and who we're going to talk to, and how it's going to work, that before you know it, we're singing the last hymn and you can't remember any other part of the service because you were focused on, I got to do this for this meeting. I got to get the people together. I got to say this. I got to say the externals rob our worship. External religion replaces true religion. And people go away, I don't have any joy for Christmas. I can't wait for the holidays to be over. It's just a pain. There's so much to do. And then there's all this stuff going on at church. And I don't have time for that. And I hope the service is over at 11:15 because I got, you know, I often wonder what would happen on Christmas Eve if God answered our prayer for revival. And he sent a heaven-sent revival at 7:30 on Christmas Eve night. And he just filled the sanctuary with his Holy Spirit. And people started confessing their sin and testifying how Jesus Christ is making a difference in their life. And there's people laying on the floor weeping over their sin. And there's other people over there praising Jesus. And this goes on. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, goes all through the night. And the next morning, the dawn breaks and it's Christmas. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is still working and people are getting saved and nobody's leaving. And it's like, wow, heaven on earth. The people who miss Christmas would say, how come the service went so long? You know, I was supposed to put the ham in at 10 o'clock. We couldn't exchange gifts because we're done at that church. See what I'm getting at? Instead of this deep, deep desire to want to be worshiping that baby, it's like, let's get that checked off the list and get on to the other things. And we wonder why the holidays are so meaningless. They're empty. A lot of activity. The wise men came from afar. It took them quite a long time to get to church. A lot of obstacles. Very costly. It wasn't just three men from Persia coming across to the desert. Some researchers say there was probably 200 in that traveling party. Servants, animal keepers, all of this. It was costly. But they came seeking the newborn king. Nothing would stop them from worshiping him. Herod tried to. But God kept them coming. And as a result, they met Jesus Christ. Even though they came later, some say months, maybe even years later, they didn't miss Christmas because they didn't miss Jesus Christ. How about you? Do you identify with any of the groups? Do you really want to meet the Lord? Do you really want Him to live within you? Emmanuel, God with us. Not just for a fleeting moment over the holidays, but forever. Do you want that? The shepherd said, I bring you good news of a great joy. For today, in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born for all the people. For you. There's a Savior. A Savior who came, who lived a sinless life. A Savior who went to the cross and said, let me take your sin. And I will pay the debt of your sin by dying on the cross, satisfying the justice of God and appeasing His anger. I will take that from you and pay that debt off completely. And I will give you my righteousness. You will be right with God. He will adopt you into His family. Do you want that? That's the message, the good news of Christmas. That's what we want you not to miss. That God brought you here today. Because He loves you. And He wants you who are celebrating the birth of Christ to be born again by His Spirit and become a child of God. And not miss Christmas. That's what He wants for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other Savior. There is no other way to get right with God. He sent His Son to save us. Are you saved? You say, I'm not sure. I don't know where I stand with God, but I certainly don't want to miss Christmas. I don't want to miss Jesus. What do I have to do? You have to believe. And an expression of that belief comes in prayer.